Hey, welcome back to Autastic, a comedian's guide to autism. This is a podcast by me, your host, Kirk Smith, and my co-host.
I'm Graham Kay.
And this is a podcast that we have autistic family members in our life, and we just talk about it. We talk about what's in the news, yep. What happened in our week, and this isn't science, but this is just be not sad.
Yeah.
That's what you like to say.
Yeah. Comedian's Guide to Autism.
That's it.
We're just doing our best.
So our first segment is always in the Week in Review, and Graham, you had something. You came in a hot, you had a hot one today.
Well, not really a hot one. I just
you had something to contribute, and I had nothing to contribute.
I'm going to tell it, and our listeners are going to be like, "No, it's not really hot. It's an
not okay, that hot.
It's a little warm at most." But anyway, I was just talking to my brother, and he's autistic, and he was talking about how he saw Jack Reacher. The movie Jack Reacher, because he has like
Tom Cruise movie.
Yeah, new Tom Cruise movie. So what happened? He has like there's like a volunteer comes and takes him and another guy from his group.
That's awesome.
Out to the movie, and I was like, "Is she pretty?" She's like, "Well, she's a little young for me, Graham. She's 27, and I'm 33, so she's far too young." I'm
probably you want somebody 6 months within his age. Love it.
Yeah. Because our parents are the same age. So I think in his head, he's like, well, she's got to get the same age, same class, same age. Anyway, so he's like, no. And then he was like, something really interesting, because he likes Star Wars and all that stuff, and lasers and explosions and everything like that.
Sci-fi, like sci-fi.
Yeah, then he was like, I was like, did you like it? He was like, I just didn't like the parts where people were punching and hitting and shooting each other. That was a little... He's getting very sort of staid in his old age. You
know? He likes what he likes.
He likes it.
I like my violence futuristic.
Yeah.
I need some laser sounds.
It's just violence. A little too violent for me, you know?
He's 100% Canadian.
Yeah. Hey, people always say that, but...
There's some truth to it, I think.
No, it's not truth to it. We're just not insane. You're Americans are extra violent. You're extra violent.
Yeah.
In any sort of war we're in, we far surpass Americans in reaching our objectives and everything like that. And when we go for violence, we do it like well. Like there's only three countries got their own beach during D-Day, and we're the only one to achieve our goal. Everyone else got bogged down. Also, we play hockey, so
that's true.
It's the only sport where it's like, oh yeah, you did something wrong and the ref didn't catch it, I'm going to punch you in the face.
That's a good point.
And then in basketball, they're like, whoa, oh my God.
Besides boxing.
Tom Janovich got punched 50 years ago when they talk about it. You know, it's like, who cares?
That's true.
And I've never seen a worse girly fight than basketball players fight. It's the the most girly thing you've ever... That's why basketball hasn't really caught on outside like Toronto in Canada, because people are like, this is like a pansy sport. I don't want to play a pansy sport.
That's by people that don't play. I've had my nose broken a few times.
Yeah, by an inadvertent elbow or something.
No elbows, yeah.
Yeah, it's like not a hockey's a contact sport. You can go out headhunting and legally hit somebody. And also, they in football, they're like, oh, well, it's a harder sport, you know. I'm like, blah, blah, blah. Well, you only play 16 games. Hockey players are doing that for 82 games.
But I will say this. Football literally takes years off your life. There's studies that it'll take every year you play in the league.
I think it
takes 18 months off your life, which is a lot.
It is harder. It is harder on your body. But hockey also does take years off your life. But hockey's a thing where you can... play your body, you could be like Wayne Gretzky and come out of it
like baseball
whatever, or like basketball, like you're fine. And the only reason why Wayne Gretzky's fine is because he had Dave the Tiger Williams on his team, and Dave would just sit on the bench and just stare at the other team's bench like just point at Wayne Gretzky and be like, don't touch him. That's true though, because it's such a fast sport that like somebody can get away with transgressions against you, and the ref can't catch it.
It's too quick. Yeah.
You need.
I will say this:
a guy named Tiger on your team.
That's a good point. I like how you say basketball is not a contact sport. We're going to go play basketball in 20 minutes, and everybody that plays against me says it seems like a contact sport.
That's because you are taking out, this is how this whole conversation relates to autism, is he needs basketball. Kirk needs basketball to get out his sort of like...
demons?
Like the loves his son more than anything. But, it's tough on a guy. And Kirk takes it out on the 25-year-olds we play against. They haven't seen basketball of this fashion because they didn't grow up in the 80s. They didn't watch Charles Oakley play basketball.
It's called a hop step and a little chicken wing. That's all it is.
Kirk is in his early 40s, looks much younger, and he elbows people in the and it's legal.
It's
and they're
called
like
a chicken wing. It's called a little chicken wing. You get a little movement.
I've never seen a more intense basketball player, and it's directly related to raising an autistic child
with less talent.
Well, I will say this. I will say this to all you parents out there that, and even if you are an autistic person, a person with autism listening, exercise will help you. My brother said this today. He was like, a lot of you listeners know, he's getting into exercising because our doctor said that he was getting fat. We have this Irish doctor she's like 60 years old and very blunt. You're getting a little bit chubby. And he's like, oh no. And he just, on his own volition, came out with a workout regimen, all in jeans, by the way.
Perfect.
Star Wars shirt, cinched up, high-waisted jeans.
And Crocs or running shoes?
No, he wore a black, okay, all black, like New Balance or Nike shoe.
Nice.
And anyway, he's losing weight, but he figured this out himself. He said this today. He was like, I start to think about the past, and he starts, when he says that, he's talking about being bullied, going through high school and all that. And he's like, but then I went exercising because I knew that would take my mind off it. He just figured that out himself.
That's great.
And he was like, and you get those natural endorphins. Yeah. And he doesn't know about what natural endorphins, but he knows that it makes him feel better after.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
It's awesome.
And he called me in a good mood. I know he's in a good mood because he called me and he was like, and he did like cartoon voice. He's like, he'll be like, hello, Sanjay. Like, because, he's Sanjay, he's Apu, I'm Sanjay.
He's the lead.
Yeah, the brothers from the Indian brothers from The Simpsons. And it's not about like they're Indian, it's about that they're brothers he likes. So anyway.
That's cute.
Yeah. Exercise.
That's cool.
Exercise is important. We also talked about, I was like, so is this woman this volunteer that's taking you guys out to movies, is she hot? You know? She's like, no, she's too young, And I was like, do you want to have? I was like, I'm just gonna ask because I know the answer, but I've never asked him. I was like, do you want to have sex with somebody? And he's like, well, only if they think it's okay. They have to think it's okay. I'm like, I know, that's good. And he's like, have you ever had sex? And he's like, I don't think so. There was that one guy who tried to take advantage of him. Another developmentally delayed guy, but more of somebody who, for lack of a better phrasing, wasn't very smart, but not like autistic or anything when he was a teenager. And nothing happened, but it almost did, and whatever. And this is sort of one of the advantages of being of having autism or Peter's brain, is that I was like, did that bother you? Are you okay? These are all things that we've asked him, But he's like, yes. He's like, yeah, it was really annoying. And then he asked me to go to the bus stop. And I'm like, I'm not going to go wait to the bus stop. And it was, and I hate when people, try and are bad friends. Like that time my other friend, James, told me to go at the beach and go smash that person's sandcastle. I don't want to smash a sandcastle. Equally upset about the sandcastle smashing than being molested.
Both bad things.
Both horrible things. This person spent a long time trying to build this sandcastle.
This other guy's a sexual predator.
Yeah. So, trying to talk to him about that and everything like that, and sex is a tricky thing. And I'm kind of glad in a way that he's in his early to mid 30s because his sex drive is probably going down a bit. It's not as insane.
Oh, yeah. Early, late teens, early 20s.
Oof. Yeah. And I kept like asking him, like, do you want to have sex? And he was like, well, only if they want to. And I, you know, he was basically saying it seems like a lot of trouble. Like a lot
he's
of work.
Not wrong.
I'm like, okay, I mean, we're still trying to, we kind of gave up trying to find him a girlfriend, and I want to get back on that, but it's obviously a whole can of worms. I think my parents don't want to get into it, but because, you know, what if he gets somebody pregnant and all this stuff and all, you know, but the guy deserves to not live his life as a hermit, you know. Yeah. So I don't know what we're going to do. I have no idea.
I think, though, the older you get, and I'm going to sound like such an old man comment, but maybe in your early 20s, sex is 80% of the relationship, and in your 40s, it's half or whatever. And then it's like, you want to hear the person talk. You want to be able to get along.
Yeah.
You want to be able to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, some of those other things become more important.
Maybe it's better for him to lose his virginity in his 40s or something.
Well, I don't think there's no contest. There's no rush.
There is no contest.
I like the movie 40-year-old version. I thought it was a very nuanced approach. Like, it sure paints him a little bit as a dork, but it's like he finds somebody. It's a good fit for him.
Yeah.
He's happy.
Right.
You know, they bust his chops a little bit, but it's like
they all love him though.
They all love him, and yeah. they really want him to be happy. They're not trying to get,
exactly.
to get chlamydia.
Yeah.
And so it's I thought it was a very nuanced approach. Yeah.
Yeah. No. I think eventually it'll happen for Peter. I just think...
He's 45. I don't think it's that big a deal.
No, no.
He'll still enjoy it.
He'll be ready to go. well, that's my week in review.
That's week in review.
Yeah.
That was great, man.
Thanks, man.
That was great.
Thanks, Peter.
Yeah, thank you, Peter. The next segment, as our longtime listeners know, is in the news.
Yes.
Cue music, Kirk. This is a note to myself who's editing later. Okay.
He's probably not going to do that.
In the New York Magazine. This is a big deal. I had a few people send me this.
This is huge.
A leading autism organization is no longer seeking the cure. So Autism Speaks is probably the largest, or is the largest. So I'll just read the article here, part of it. Autism Speaks, a leading autism advocacy group in the United States, has quietly made a small but potentially meaningful change to its focus. According to its new mission statement, it will no longer seek a cure, quote-unquote, for autism. As reported late last week by the developmental disability news organization Disability Scoop, with the revamped mission, Autism Speaks, quote, strikes a marked different tone, noted reporter Michelle Diamant. Gone are the terms like struggle and hardship.
Amazing.
And crisis. Also absent is any mention of seeking a cure for the developmental disorder. So this is a big deal. Because, you know, a lot of autistic people have had trouble with Autism Speaks language, feeling that they don't need to be cured. And so this was a small change, small but meaningful change in their direction. So I have strong feelings about this. What do you think, Graham?
Well, let's hear your strong feelings first, and then I'll piggyback off that.
Well, I just think sometimes, okay, so... autism is such a wide spectrum, right? If you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. So people that have high functioning autism, probably a little higher functioning than Peter, who could form their own organizations for autism, which there are some now that are run by autistic people, they have the ability to speak for themselves and to give their voice and feel like, I don't want you speaking for me. I don't need to be cured. Okay. Who speaks for my son who literally doesn't speak?
Yeah.
That falls on me. And then the hard part about being a parent is, you know, you get notes sometimes about...
I think we should bring Asperger's back.
Yeah?
And just call those people Asperger's.
Because it's a totally different experience.
Yeah,
because
they can advocate for themselves. Right. They're not... They're to me, they're more like... they're more like Revenge of the Nerds nerds.
So this goes back to what we talked about in another episode.
They're just different.
But if you do that, then we're dividing up. Remember, we talked about this. If we divide up autism into five different things,
yeah,
and we talked about keeping it together till we get the funding. It's a tough call.
Oh, I see what you're saying, because together we're stronger.
Yeah,
to advocate.
But I feel like sometimes there's people that have.
Well, the outside world doesn't have to know. It's right amongst us. You know, I don't know.
But the people that have autism that are higher functioning, that are very vocal and, you know, are capable of writing emails and do write emails to us,
right,
have an opinion. My son doesn't. I'm his advocate or whatever, however you want to call it. And I don't know if he needs a quote-unquote cure, but I'd like him to be independent, and I think more work needs to be done. And
but that's not what that means, Kirk. They're not saying a cure, not looking for a cure anymore doesn't mean that no more therapy.
Not therapy, but I guess it just depends where you fall. Like, is it a mistake to try to figure out what, if the autism numbers are through the roof,
right,
they're going up every year, and if it's caused by something environmental we're doing to ourselves, mm-hmm, wouldn't it make sense to find that and stop doing that?
Yeah. Yeah, if it's Monsanto,
yeah,
we should stop.
We'd like, yeah, to know that, or yeah, should we just focus on giving kids therapy?
Oh, I 100% agree with you.
Right?
Yeah. I didn't understand. They're saying we're just going to stop looking for a cause?
They said they're not going to try to find a cure.
A cure, I think what they're saying is when you have it, you have it. You can't just cure. I never heard of a cure for autism until I moved to America.
Right.
No, and my dad said this. He's like, Americans think that you can cure autism. It's like saying you can cure, like somebody with cerebral palsy or something. It's like
but they're working on that.
You have it. Well, you know, you can nip it at the bud. Like you can find a cause for something and stop the cause.
Right.
That doesn't mean that has nothing to do with a cure. A cure I agree, and all the studies have shown that if you catch it early, it mitigates it, yeah, and all that, and that's also different. That child will still have autism. You're not curing them.
Yeah,
the brain is a malleable thing.
But we do know this too.
There's a reason why people in certain parts of the world are dumber than in other certain parts of the world. Their brain is just as high functioning as anyone's. It's just they're not being challenged enough. If you're put in a small little world where you're only taught one thing and you have to, you know, read a religious text over and over again, and you're not taught about science or math or anything like that, you're going to be a really closed brain person, and you're not going to know anything, and you're going to be kind of a dumb person. Whereas if you're challenged and made to think broad things, someone whose brain has maybe less horsepower than that person who was put in this bubble, they're going to be smarter.
Right.
Like I had a lot of learning disabilities growing up.
People are cured of it. We talked about this. Remember, some people come out of it completely. I don't know if cured is the right word, but some people come out of autism completely. We've talked about this. There's science around that now.
We have talked about this, but I don't know. I mean, the science is murky, and it's like you said, it's a spectrum.
Right. So they're already higher functioning.
They're already higher functioning, yeah. And it's like I had a friend. So I used to go to like special learning to say instead of taking French growing up, because I'm from Canada and you have to take French until 9th grade, or until 10th grade, and I didn't have to go to French because I had all these learning disabilities, and so I had to take a special class on how to like retain things and like whatever. And I was with people in my one guy in my class who was, again, for lack of a better word, he wasn't learning disabled. He was just a dumb guy. He just had a very low IQ, mm-hmm, but he had something I didn't have at the time, which was he was very disciplined and had a very hard work ethic. And he would get higher grades than lazy people, yeah, who are way smarter. And because he worked at it, you know what I mean? Like he was revving his engine high all day and achieving higher because he was working really hard. And people were like, he shouldn't be in a regular school. And his parents were like, we want him in a regular school, you know, you know, and he worked really hard and he was getting like 60, you know, 65s, yep, the odd 70, you know what I mean? And if someone was like, okay, well, you're this intelligent, we're going to put you in this category, he would have never, you know, achieved a regular high school diploma. He probably could have gone to like community college. I don't know what he did after and gotten a regular job, you know, made 70 grand a year, 60 grand a year. And like, and that would have never happened. And if at the beginning people were like, no, you're dumb. You have to go to the special school and now you got to work, you know.
Effort always trumps.
Absolutely.
Talent, I agree.
Yeah. So I just think that like that a lot of that happens and people are like, well, we cured them. It's like, I don't know.
Okay. Well, I think it's interesting. I think I just...
It's very interesting. And I think that they're... I don't think you can... I think... I agree with what they've said. I don't think like, you can cure. I think you can make it better.
You can treat it. We're talking about two different things.
Absolutely.
We're talking about,
we are. Yes.
We're talking about finding the cause, which is unrelated to curing it. But I think... cause is very important. We need to find the cause. If the numbers are through the roof, like most studies show, you know, if they're going up exponentially every year and they continue to go up, otherwise, you know, math works. Eventually, the whole world's autistic. And if they're all like my son, the species doesn't survive. It's that simple. He's not communicating. He's not working. He's not doing any of that stuff.
Right.
So, yeah, I do think that...
It's a very blunt way to look at it.
Well, I know, but it's truth.
It is truth in that certain sense, but we don't live in that society anymore. But I understand what you're saying.
We don't live in what society?
Well, we're not in just eating grass in a field and he's going to get eaten by a tiger because he's
no. But I'm saying statistically, if you grow, so let's say the autism rates are up 30% a year. I don't know how we're doing math at a comedy podcast, but here we go. Up 30% a year. Well, if they go up 30% every year...
It's not going up 30% a year.
Okay, what is it going up since the 70s? It's gone up, not 30% a year. What has it gone up? 8?
I have no idea, but whatever.
Let's say 3%.
A lot.
Well, let's say 3%.
We can say 1% is a lot. It doesn't matter. Yeah.
So 30 years, that's
doesn't matter.
The whole population.
Yes.
So if the whole population is like my son, he's not holding a job or anything.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting at is we need to... I don't know. We need to find the cause.
We have to find the cause. We have to find the cause.
And again, if you've met one person with autism, you've met one person with autism. The person with a really milder case is, of course, encouraged to speak for himself and has a voice and is important. But so are the people that are speaking for the voiceless, which is, I guess, my son. Literally the voiceless. He's not speaking for himself. So somebody has to say, no, he still needs his resources. He still needs his... Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I still think that... We can all join all different...
I still think we stay together.
I think so, too. But I think within the autism world, I think that there can be subsets. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And be like, look, we all know that you're not the same high-functioning rocket scientists who can't look at your face,
right?
Who can't make eye contact as your son, who sticks peanut butter sandwiches in the VCR. DVD player.
Not a good fix.
No. But, yeah. It all comes from the same root system, right?
Well, I think that's we need more studies. Yeah, we need more investigation.
Mm-hmm. I don't know, man. It is big. It is big. And I hope that doesn't... Autism speaks. They care. They do research. There's got to be a reason behind it. I'm sure that they're not gonna. It's not gonna hurt the funding.
No, they got
like
a board member who they got a new board member, I believe, who has autism.
Oh, and great!
It's the first,
that's great.
And I think that's great.
That's awesome. Actually, that makes me happy.
And yeah, so this the self advocates, which is a whole different discussion. But I think it's great. I think it's good. The more voices you have by people affected by this, the more diverse the solution. And the better the final result's going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Well?
I think things, guys, are looking up. I would much rather have a family member who has autism in 2016 than 1995. Things are great. Like, they're getting a lot better. We know a lot more. And like anything else, love fixes, it makes everything easier and better and makes these kids better than they were. So there's always, what's great about all this is that there's more hope than there used to be, I think.
Yeah, I agree.
I think that one thing that I've learned during this podcast is that there is a lot more hope out there. And I think that what's really good is that people aren't giving up. One thing I really respect about people who think that there's a cure and we got to find a cure is the hope. And through trying to find a cure, even if they, if it's fruitless and they don't find a cure on the way there, they're going to find therapy to make every kid better, I think. Right?
Yeah, sorry, I'm so quiet on this one. I have a hard time with it. I feel like if somebody's a scientist and they want to find
You have a hard time of it because you're thinking about your son.
Yeah, and so it's hard to think.
I see that in your eyes, man.
Yeah, how do you not find, if the possibility's there for him to speak, and how do we not try to find it? And that's not an insult
to somebody. But that's not what they're saying, right?
Well, they're not, if they, that's the first step if they're not
going to look for it. So you're worried that they're saying, so I just want to understand. And you're worried that they're saying your son is a lost cause.
Right, because if they, okay, think about it like this.
If there's a possibility
to find a cure.
Right.
I mean, to me, what better use of money?
Right.
Than to get, you know, to reach my son. I know it's selfish, but I mean, what's a better use of money? Right. A Ferrari? I mean, to me, there's no better use of money than to try to reach him. And so, yeah, if we quote unquote waste a lot of money, use a lot of money on this.
I don't think that that's what they're saying, Kirk.
Yeah.
I don't think you have to worry about that. Your son is not a lost cause. No one's saying that. Everyone is, research is still trying to make your son talk. I think so.
That's what I, yeah, selfishly want.
Not selfishly. Right. Not selfishly at all. You don't have to qualify that. It's the right thing, and your son would love to talk, I'm sure.
I think he'd love to communicate, yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure he's frustrated in there. I'm sure there's a big part of him that's like, this is annoying.
Yeah.
I want to just say this and get that. Why can't I, you know? Mm-hmm. And I really, truly believe that one day it's going to happen for you.
I'm hoping.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, if this sounds crazy, but if there was sci-fi for me, one of the attractions is that there are answers. They fix things that are like easy fixes.
To shoot him with a laser?
Well, like...
It's like, hey, oof,
you know,
that was annoying. hey, Dad.
Thanks for lasering that wart off my nose.
Yeah, yeah.
No, but like blindness, or you've watched Star Trek, or they fix broken bones with a air shot, or they fix...
I love how that guy... the Next Generation has that eye thing.
He still has the eye things. I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah, and like in 2016, they already can fix it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just reattach the retinas or whatever they do, you know?
Yeah. So I'd love to, yeah, if there was the ability to like, this is going to be like this, and there's going to be this, and it's a little inconvenient, but he will speak, or he'll have a voice box.
Have more of a voice anyway.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, he has a voice. I agree. But he needs more of a voice.
He'll have more of a voice. Yeah. Well, guys, what do you say, Kirk?
I think we did another one. I
think we did another podcast. This one got deep also.
I know it did.
We got two deep ones in a row.
Yeah, not super, super jokey.
That's okay. We got real, man.
It happens. We're real human beings with complex emotions like everybody else.
Well, you have two emotions. You have like three. You have... Anger.
Anger's definitely there.
Happy. Sad.
I like how in your analogy, I'm a caveman.
Yeah, you kind of, well.
You've got hungry, and you've got not hungry.
Kirk is like one of the last people who have the same emotional spectrum as like our grandparents, as like World War II greatest generation types. I don't know. I think because you grew up in a different country, in a bubble, like this is what America is, and you just like, it's like, uh-huh. You're just like an old tough guy.
Why is it? But I'm not really even that tough. It's really weird. I'm like a tough
You're
guy.
You're pretty tough, dude.
Tough guy without the
You're
toughness.
Pretty tough. You've been through a lot, and you got a big old, big tooth smile. I think your teeth are too big for your face. I wonder. I think about that sometimes.
Kirk, were you a horse in a previous life?
Yeah.
You got that horse face.
You're very, you're a tough guy. Trust me.
I don't think so. I think I just need to be a little bit more emotionally, yeah, nuanced, but I'm working on it. I'm working on it.
Everyone's working on it. You're doing fine. You're doing great, buddy. Trust me. Let's go play basketball.
Let's go play basketball.
Push around some kids.
Guys, if you
take our anger on some kids.
If you like this podcast, please take a second to review us on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. That's the way the little formula works on iTunes. The more reviews, the more it gets covered. Also, please take a second to like us on Facebook if you're on Facebook. And follow us on Twitter, Instagram. What else is out there? Snapchat. I'm Kirk Smith Comedy.
We have nothing on Snapchat. Don't.
Well, I've got stuff.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you meant like Autast.
Oh, nothing on Autast. I mean, you can follow us personally, though. We have Twitter accounts, and we have...
I can't think of anything worse than following the Autastic Snapchat.
That could be rough. That might be a mistake.
I got
Graham Snapchat. K Comedy, right?
Yeah, Graham K Comedy, guys. Come on.
It's Twitter, Instagram.
Oh, and don't forget to say Patreon.
Guys, we have a Patreon page. A lot of you have... contributed that dollar per episode, and we really appreciate it. Those of you who haven't,
we
take a
you.
Second to consider supporting us. It's at patreon.com/autastic. That's Graham, you'll spell it for us.
patreon.com/autastic. And you can donate as little as a cup of coffee, half a cup of coffee a week. How about that?
Not even a McDonald's coffee is a dollar anymore.
No.
We appreciate it, guys. You can do it. We love you.
Thanks.